we'll get people up there too.
All right. Well, probably about the time we finish all of this coronavirus stuff, I'll figure out how to do this. I really appreciate Renee. I don't know what we'd do without her. We'd be in a mess. And so thank you very much. Thank you, Tom, for the music this morning. Today we're going to be talking about heaven, our forever home. Have you ever moved to a different state from where maybe you were raised?
Yes.
And how about a different country?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, if I were to ever move, which I hope I don't ever, I love it here in Oregon. I would like to know about the place that I'm moving to. I would like to know what the attractions are. I would like to know what the activities are in the area. I would like to know what the climate is. I would like to know what the culture is, wherever I'm moving to. That would depend a lot. That would make a decision for me about, or help me make a decision about whether or not I'm going to move there. One day, you and I are going to be moving to a new home. We will leave this earthly home, and we're going to be moving into a heavenly home. So wouldn't it be great to know a little bit about your new home?
Yeah.
That's what we're going to be talking about probably in the next 6 weeks, this series regarding heaven. Some people like surprises.
Wonderful.
People don't want to know until they get there what's up. But for me, I kind of like to know what's ahead, and I like to know what to expect. I like to know what to prepare for. And so it seems too, the older I get, the more homesick I get.
I'm muted. Your video is stopped.
Everyone, please. So, I want you to join me for the next 6 weeks or so to discover our new home and see what's taking place there. I think you're going to be amazed at some of the things, just as I was preparing for this. Oh, and by the way, the heaven you're going to, it's going to be temporary, okay? Because God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and the new heaven and the new earth are going to be different than what we're going to read about in the first part of Revelation compared to what we're going to read about in the last part of Revelation, okay? It's going to be different, and it's going to be a more wonderful different than it is even now. And even now, it's going to be awesome. Okay. And by the way, did you know that God himself is preparing to move? He's preparing to move his throne. And we're going to talk about that as we get into this study. So I want to, as we began this study, I just want to let you know that I have drawn from two major sources. The first source, of course, is the Bible, the book of Revelation primarily, and a book written by Randy Alcorn called Heaven. It's about a 500-page book. It's probably, without a doubt, the most comprehensive book on heaven that there is. He brings up a lot of enlightening ideas, and many of the ideas I had never considered before, but he backs it all with scripture. And so I've used a lot of his materials as we go through this. The best way for me to go through, sometimes I do topically, but I think for this study, we're going to just go through Revelation a chapter at a time. and look and see what John saw while he was on the Isle of Patmos. If most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with John the Apostle. He was exiled to an island called Patmos, where people who had committed crimes of the state were exiled to. So it's kind of like a prison, kind of like Alcatraz. And they would put these prisoners on the Isle of Patmos. And the reason he was exiled was because he had been preaching Jesus Christ. And the Roman state said, no, you cannot do that because we have one king and only one king, and Jesus can't be our king. And so, however, John didn't listen to those authorities over him. He continued to preach Christ. And therefore, he was exiled on this island called Patmos. Now, while he was there, one Sunday, as he was in worship, something extraordinary happened to him. Out of this world, he was caught up into heaven, and the Lord showed him a lot of what takes place in heaven, as well as what was going to be taking place on earth. Now, in the book of Revelation, there's a lot of information about a lot of things. And we're going to try not to get bogged down with everything and every nuance and every vision he saw. What we're going to try to do is just focus on those passages of scripture that address heaven, what it's like, who is there, what he saw, what he heard. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to see the same things. We're going to experience a lot of what he experienced. And so I'm going to try to stick with just the portions about heaven. If throughout the weeks ahead there's something that pops up on our radar that needs to be addressed, then I will do that. Just as this COVID-19 popped up and disrupted some of our studies. So as we read chapter 4, I want you to try to imagine with me the colors that were being seen by John. Try to imagine the creatures that he saw and as he describes them. So, Revelation chapter 4. Then as I looked, John said, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the same voice I had heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. And the voice said, come up here, and I'll show you what will happen after this. And instantly, I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumbling of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystals. And in the center and around the throne were four living beings, all covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these, I have to read it off of here because I can't see it on the screen. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne. The one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was, who is, and who is still to come." And whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you were created, because you created what you pleased." And so the first thing I want to call to your attention to is that John heard a voice speaking, and the voice said, "Come up here." This is a call to every single one of us to leave the turmoil, the difficulties, the troubles of this life, and take some time, some space to be with the Lord. Even if it's for a little while, we can get so caught up with the things in our world and the things that's coming upon us and the things that's going on around us that we forget to start focusing on the Lord. John was told, "Come up here." And every single one of us, that is an invitation to us to leave for a while what's going on around us and begin to focus on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to sometimes forget about what's going on the earth and begin to focus on God Almighty, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. We need to concentrate on him and think about him. Passage of scripture in Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, Paul instructs us, "If then you were raised," and this is past tense, if you were raised, and whoever received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you may not know it, but you're already seated in the heavenlies. And Paul is saying, if you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. In the New Living Translation, he says, think about things of heaven, not the things of the earth. And I am guilty of thinking too much about things on earth and not thinking enough about what's in heaven. All of this stuff is going to pass away. All of this stuff I will not carry with me unless I send it on ahead so it'll be there when I get there. But the things that I put my heart and my mind into regarding this earth is not going to make a hill of beans difference in the future. We need to be looking forward to our future life rather than the earthly things. We are exhorted to think about heaven, the things which are there, the things that await us. Do you find it easy to get caught up in the political stuff going on? Okay. One day, we won't have to deal with that anymore. There's not going to be any politicians. Praise the Lord. It's easy to get sidetracked by the coronavirus and everything that's going on. I mean, we can sit in the front of the TV and we can watch what is coming down. And man, before bedtime, you're going to have a heart attack or a panic attack or something. Okay? So it's easy to begin to lose focus of what is truth and what is real. We have an eternal life. And we have an eternal home. This chapter, as well as the whole of the book of Revelation, is a reminder to us to come up here. Get your mind and your heart focused on what's awaiting you. One of the things that John saw was the Father. In Amplified Version, it says that once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and lo, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on the throne, and he who sat there appeared like the crystalline of jasper, and of the fiery sardius, and encircling the throne was a halo that looked like a rainbow of emerald. I put up here on your left in the corner an emerald. And so whenever what John saw was this rainbow of a translucent green color, and he said, and that was encircling the throne. It was like a big halo around God. He also said that it wasn't the throne, but God himself that looked like translucent jasper. I borrowed this jasper. I don't know if you can see it very well. I borrowed this jasper from Michael Swanson. It's got green, it's got blue, it's got brown in it. It's got rust colors in it. It's a beautiful stone. But can you imagine? Now, this is a picture. John said God himself looked like crystalline jasper. God himself. To me, I'm thinking it's these colors that are moving and blending together. And when John saw God, it was a figure that looked kind of like a man, but it was a morphing into these different colors at the same time. Above the surface, this is what Ezekiel saw. He says, above this surface was something that looked like a throne made of blue lapis lazuli. So the throne looked like this, something that is just beautiful beyond comparison. And on the throne, Ezekiel goes on to say, and on the throne high above was a figure whose appearance resembled a man. From what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like fire. This is a picture of amber. So can you even imagine being in the presence of God and looking and watching and seeing this figure? It is amazing. What we find is that every activity in heaven taking place, every eye, everything was focused on the throne and him who sat there. Ezekiel goes on to say, and from his waist down, he looked like a burning flame shining with splendor. All around him was a glowing halo like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. And when I saw it, I fell face down on the ground. I think that's when we see the Father. I don't think there's going to be anybody just standing. I think there's going to be people, ourselves included, who fall on the ground. There's a passage of scripture in John 1:18 that says no one has ever seen God. Okay. However, something happens when we transfer from this earthly body to the time we get to heaven, something happens so that we're going to be able to see. We are transformed and we're going to be able to see the Father. You remember the Beatitudes? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Do you remember what it says? For they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So one of the things that's going to take place in our lives as we transfer from this place to our heavenly place is that there's going to be a purification of our heart. Hopefully, each of us are in that purification process even now. There is something in the life, in the heart of a Christian. And I believe for all Christians that they have this longing to be with the Lord, this longing to see God. And it takes a pure heart to do it. And if you're a Christian, you are right now working on that aspect of your life so that your heart becomes more pure, more pure, more pure, more pure, because you want that close fellowship with the Lord. One day we will be completely pure and we're going to stand before the Father. And when we see him, you and I will experience the love of God like we've never experienced before. We will feel his love. We will be overwhelmed with his joy. We will be overwhelmed with his kindness toward us. However, we will be overwhelmed with the awe that encircles him and goes out from him. One of the things John heard and saw was John saw flashes of lightning and heard peals of thunder coming from the throne. Have you ever been in a lightning storm? Being raised in the South, that was very common in the summer, in the afternoon, you could anticipate thunderclouds, lightning storms, and the rumbling of thunder. And it was beautiful to watch if you weren't out in it. But if you were out in it, it was pretty scary. And so John was there, and he saw these lightning bolts coming from the throne, and he heard these peals of thunder rumbling throughout heaven, and I'm sure it kind of freaked him out. It would have freaked me out. Those are some things we're going to see. Those are some things that we're going to experience. Whenever I was in Mississippi and those electric storms, you could actually feel the static in the air. You could feel it. It was not something that you would like to feel very often, because anytime lightning could strike. I had a friend who was killed actually by a lightning bolt. He was putting in fence posts, and he was about 17, I think, whenever he was killed. Now, I want you to understand that during these days that we're living in now, you need to understand that God is on the throne. You need to understand that God calls the shots. It is not our governor, though she may think she does. It's not even our president, though he may think he does. God can stop this pandemic anytime he desires to. All he has to do is speak the word. God is all powerful. He is all knowing. So I want to remind you of a passage of scripture. You remember when Jesus stood before Pilate? Pilate said to Jesus, I have the power to have you crucified or to release you. And Jesus' response was this, you don't have any power except what my Father gives you. Our governor does not have any power except what our Father gives her. President Trump does not have any power except the power that comes from above. We're to pray for our governor. We're to pray for our president, that God's will would be accomplished in their lives, because God is on the throne and he reigns supreme. And you need to remember that this picture that John saw, or this vision, or it sounds like he was there, not just a vision, sound like he actually visited heaven. He saw these things, and we need to be reminded that God is on the throne. In these difficult times, God is on the throne. One other thing that, oops, I'm going the wrong way. Still going the wrong way. Sorry. John saw the seven spirits of God. You may say, well, man, I thought there was only one spirit. I thought it was the Holy Spirit. That I saw the seven spirits of God. In verse 5, from the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. And this is the sevenfold spirit of God. So do you remember the menorah that God told Moses to have made, made out of gold, had seven lamps? This thing is huge. The priest would actually have to stand on a platform to light this thing. This thing is huge. This is a replica of what would have been in the tabernacle of Moses, as well as Solomon's temple. The seven flames were lit each evening, and in the morning they were extinguished. However, as I was looking and reading, it seemed like the center column, no matter how they would try to extinguish it, it would just keep burning. They said, Jews would say it's a miracle, and did say it was a miracle. So oil in the scripture is often depicting of the Holy Spirit. The light is representation of Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. I want us to look real quickly at Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and look at the seven spirits that Isaiah speaks of in this passage. It says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And this is talking about Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So these are the seven spirits: the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. How many of you ever pray for wisdom? Scripture tells us pray for wisdom. We need to pray for knowledge. These are the seven spirits that Jesus experienced while he was here on earth. The Spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, the knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. We need the spirit of wisdom. We need the spirit of counsel. We need the spirit of understanding and knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. We need these spirits to help us, to guide us, to show us. Now, when you pray for wisdom, and when you pray for knowledge, and when you pray for understanding, it's not like you're just, God just pours this into you. What often happens is that he will guide you to someone, or he will guide you to a book, or he will guide you to something on the internet, something that will give you the insight you need. Sometimes you're praying for wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and you open God's word, and lo and behold, he answers your request about that specific situation in your life. Or he may remind you of something that you've read already. He may remind you of scripture that you have read in the past, maybe some that you've memorized, and he brings it to your mind. That happens quite often with me. I would encourage you, make this a prayer of yours, that God will give you the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. If as you begin praying that, God's going to begin doing something in your life that you have not experienced before. So, in closing, God is saying to you, as believers, come up here. John saw a door. It wasn't closed. It was open. And the voice said to him, come up here. And the Father is encouraging you to come before him, to lay down your worries, your cares. He's inviting you. This is an invitation from God Almighty, your Father in heaven, to spend time with him. He's inviting you to refocus on the throne and he who sits there. Focus on who is in control and who isn't. And I know some of you are disheveled. Some of you are worried. Some of you are in fear and stressed out. The Father has opened a door to you. He's inviting you. Come apart before you come apart. Come away. Come be with me. Let me hear your heart's cry. And when you do, he will give you peace. He will give you peace. You need to remember who's on the throne. You need to remember who died for you. And you need to remember that he is preparing for you a forever home. The second part of this invitation is this. God has opened the door for you who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This is an invitation for you to leave your sin, to place your faith in Jesus, so that you can live with God in your forever home. The door is open, and the door is Jesus. Scripture teaches us that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except through the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other person, there's no other name that salvation is brought to us by. And so the invitation to you by the Father is, come be with me. Come be where I am. Make heaven your forever home by repenting of your sin, and trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Tell him you're a sinner. Ask his forgiveness. Turn to him. And when I did that, I prayed a prayer something like this. Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I turn from my sins now. I have violated your word. I have gone my own way. Please forgive me. I know that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died to save me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my life to you. You too can become a child of God. You too can enter the door of eternal life. God loves you, and I love you too. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Amen. Thank you, Brad.
You're welcome. Hope everything goes well with you.
Thank you.
Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Pastor.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank
bye.
Bye-bye. Love you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.